From the 13th chapter of Matthew, hear this parable. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, but they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Hear then the parable of the sower. At this point, Jesus is speaking to just his disciples. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what is sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. We have just heard what is commonly known as the parable of the sower. But it is also often called the parable of the four soils and the parable of the miraculous yields. These name options correspond to the particular emphasis that the hearer or interpreter chooses to make. And when I've preached on this passage in the past, I've tended to vary the focus. For instance, an emphasis on the four types of soil: hard, rocky, thorny, and good, can help describe the opportunity and probability that the seed has to grow into a healthy plant and bear fruit. If the seed represents, as stated in the Gospel of Matthew, the good news of the realm of God, we interpret that as God's inclusive love, grace, forgiveness, provision, and compassion, then that message may not be understood or accepted in the first place. It never takes root because it basically falls on deaf ears. Or it may start to take root in someone's understanding, but then is quickly dismissed or set aside, especially when faced with trouble. Matthew describes this rocky soil as shallow, not allowing the roots to grow deep. Thus, the plant withers away when hit by the scorching sun. Or it may start to grow but then be choked out by the competition from other ideas and interests and pursuits in life. Matthew describes this change in priorities as the cares of the world and the lure of wealth. Or finally, the good news can be received by someone who understands its meaning and importance in their life, is attentive to that meaning, and who perseveres when tempted to give it all up. And this approach to the interpretation of this parable often leads to the question, what kind of soil are you? Hard? rocky and shallow, thorny, or good? In other words, how receptive are you to new ways of thinking, doing, and living life, especially as they pertain living life as an active disciple of the ways of Jesus within the household of God? Well, I tend to lean to a both and understanding, in that all types of soil are represented within each one of us. Sometimes we're hard-headed. Sometimes we're inattentive. Sometimes we're easily distracted or tend to give up. Yet there are those times when something new takes root, starts to grow, and even bears fruit. In other words, the results of the seeds sown in our life may vary. And concerning our own spiritual growth, one of the most important roles of the church in a community of faith and an active spiritual life is to help us work the soil of our own hearts and minds into being receptive and willing to accept new understandings and then act upon them. That's the parable of the four soils. But however can we learn by putting ourselves into the role of the sower in this parable? Is there anyone here this morning, or anywhere for that matter, who can't relate at some level to the sower? By that I'm referring to the times when we feel like a failure. Let's look at the statistics. Three out of the four soils, that's 75%, the work of the sower ends in a yield of absolutely nothing. Those are bad odds. And have you ever felt at times that your efforts have ended in the same way? But let's face it, failure is intrinsically part of life. But how we face failure and then carry on is an important component in living a healthy and fulfilling life. And Jill Duffield, the editor and publisher of the Presbyterian Outlook, released her commentary on this parable just earlier this week, and I found something that I wasn't expecting that I'd like to share with you. In it, she shared the following in relationship to young people learning how to face and deal with failure. Recently, the New York Times printed an article on the front page of the Sunday Styles section titled, "Failure is on the Syllabus." The subtitle read, "Programs are being put in place to help students used to achievement and recognition cope with basic setbacks." Prestigious colleges such as Smith, Cornell, University of Texas, and Davidson are helping the, quote, failure-deprived students manage the fallout from their first experiences of failure. And one of the leaders of this effort at Smith, Rachel Simmons, is quoted, "We're not talking about flunking out of pre-med or being kicked out of college. We're talking about students showing up in residential life offices distraught and inconsolable when they score less than an A minus." The article goes on to assess some reasons for this phenomenon. And of course, the ubiquitous helicopter parenting is cited. The everybody gets a trophy culture. Stress over student debt and job opportunities after college, and the glorification of being busy. All no doubt true, but I wonder if there's something even more fundamental going on. So let's return to the parable to see what we can learn about sowing seeds and dealing with those varied results. Biblical commentator, author, and Presbyterian preaching professor Thomas Long reflects, "This is no careful, prudent farmer. Far from cautious, this planter throws seed around with abandon. It flies in all directions and lands everywhere, on the hard path, all over a rock-littered patch, into the thorn bushes, as well as onto the good, rich topsoil. In other words, the farmer in this parable is no normal planter. This person is a farmer whose methods reflect the realm of God. Matthew calls this the kingdom of heaven. And this person sows the seed extravagantly, as wide as possible, oblivious to the risks, much as God lavishes mercy and love on grace on you and me and on all of humanity. To be sure, the farmer takes some losses, but never mind. Despite the wasted efforts and the squandered seed, the farmer nonetheless achieves a bumper crop. We're told 100-fold, 60-fold, even 30-fold. And for those of you not familiar with first century horticulture, an average yield in ancient Palestine was only 7.5%. Therefore, the parable's conclusion of an eventual yield of 30, 60, or 100-fold points to the radical abundance and provision of God. And we shouldn't underlook the importance of this point. For one reason, the most shocking and most important point of any of Jesus' parables is often found at the end of the parable.